This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. GOP leaders in the State House and Senate reached agreement on how much the budget will be, $21.7 billion. But the tough questions about how that money will be spent remain unanswered. Lawmakers continue to debate pay raises for state employees and whether to eliminate teacher assistant jobs. WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry joins us now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hi, Frank.
So we have a budget number now, a kind of framework. Mm-hmm. How significant is that?
It's significant in that this is the biggest step that budget negotiations have made in the 7 weeks since a budget was due. So that's good. Now you need to fill in the framework of $21.7 billion. A lot of that is dictated by law and precedent and what happens year over year. But there are still, as you just alluded to, some pretty big questions. And it still may very well be weeks or even more than a month away from a final budget agreement.
Right, and a compromise number is closer to the proposal passed by senators in June than the spending blueprint approved by House policymakers. Tell us about the concessions on both sides and, you know, roughly how much of a spending change is this over last year's budget?
So it's about a 3.1%, 3.2% increase that, you know, allocates or, you know, transforms, whatever the word I'm looking for, is about $700 million of growth.
Mm-hmm.
And the House went first. It alternates each long session. The House offered its budget proposal first this spring. They offered up an amount of growth that a lot of further to the right conservatives took issue with.
Mm-hmm.
Americans for Prosperity ran a series of mailers against Nelson Dollar, who's the representative who in the House who was the chief budget writer. So the House's proposal spent a lot more money. So the concession, the main concession that the House has agreed to at this point is less spending, less money for the Job Development Investment Grant Program, less money for incentives. They haven't agreed to less in the way of state employee raises, although it's going to be pretty hard for a 2% increase across the board for state employees based on this number that we are now seeing. So that those are some of the concessions the House has made. On the Senate side, you know, they have made this concession to grow. They wanted to really keep it to, I think it was 2.7 or 2.8%. At the same time, they have pulled policy measures out of the budget. We're talking about Medicaid and tax distribution and other longer-term policies and implementation of things that they wanted to see in the budget. They've pulled that out. Those are probably still going to move forward. I think it's possible, in talking with a couple of legislators this week, that some of those policy measures work their way back into the budget, but that would be complicated and dense. They've been separated, and it's likely they'll stay out.
And that decision to take Medicaid reform and tax redistribution out of the budget package and out of the budget debate is really what moved the debate forward to this point that allowed them to get to a number, right?
It is. And as you know, Medicaid is something they've been debating for they've been working on it for years, working to either reform or expand, overhaul, however you want to define it. So they've been working on that for a long time, since before Governor McCrory was in office. They pulled that out, and that allowed them to move forward. And, you know, the governor's role in this whole thing is pretty interesting. And, you know, one of the senior budget writers in the Senate was asked about that earlier this week. A gaggle of reporters chatting with Senator Harry Brown, a Republican from Onslow County, and you know, he was asked about what role the governor and some breakfasts at the governor's mansion had in the talks.
We have had breakfast with the governor last week and this week. I would say those talks were productive. I think it at least got all of the parties to the table at one time to kind of hash out some differences. So I would say, yes, they were productive.
So a little bit of context here. The senator is a Republican from a rural county. He's he has criticized Governor McCrory. He's called him Pat publicly a couple of times. He's not happy with the sales tax redistribution proposal. So the question of what role is the governor playing in these talks? He was there. They were all at the table together, and that was.
Well, I mean, it is interesting that the chief executive is not taking the lead in this. We're only hearing from lawmakers. We we've heard endlessly about the dispute between the House and the Senate and the wrangling over teacher assistance and state employee pay and all of that. The governor has weighed in very little on this and is really not doesn't appear to be taking the lead.
The lead, certainly not. There have been times, I think earlier in the year, the governor was, you know, really touting preservation, the historic preservation tax credit, as well as other things that he wanted to see in the budget. Those were ultimately dead on arrival. And at this point, he has taken a back seat. Senator Tom Apodaca, who is a powerful, he's the head of the rules chair in the Senate, you know, made some comment to the Asheville Citizen Times a month ago about the governor doesn't do much. He's not really involved at this point, which is, you know, a shot across the bow, if nothing else. And that's coming from a fellow Republican. So he has not been intimately involved in the talks at this point. He's encouraged them to move things forward. But let's be frank about this. There is a supermajority in both parties, so they can put what they want in this budget. McCrory can go right ahead and veto it, and there probably will be enough votes to override that veto. So they don't necessarily need him to be an intimate player in these talks.
All right. Well, let's talk about Medicaid. As we said, that was one of the provisions or one of the debates that was taken out of the budget discussion. It's going to be its own debate, Medicaid reform. I want to move forward to that right now. That plan, the state Senate initially included Medicaid reform as part of the budget plan. Now it's a policy measure that's on its own, but lawmakers haven't stopped working on it. What's happening with that?
They haven't. They say that they're close to a deal, and this is pretty big news, and that they've been working on this for, depending on who you ask, close to a decade. And we have MCOs, which are managed care organizations, and we have PLEs, provider-led entities. And, you know, there's been debate about privatizing Medicaid and how to do it, and the Senate very much wants to do that. And what they've agreed to at this point in principle is a hybrid system that will be both of those things. And folks say that that's good for the market. That's going to allow for competition. That's going to allow for better care down the line and a better price for care. The House is a fan of CCNC, this whole thing is alphabet soup to some extent, but CCNC is one of these managed care organizations, and they oversee Medicaid across the state. And there was an audit that came out yesterday, and it looked at 2003 through 2012 and demonstrated that, you know, this model has saved a lot of money for the state. And, you know, this is, in from one perspective, demonstrates that this model works. So Representative Nelson Dollar is a Republican who's been working on this for I think going on 8 or 9 years now, and he was asked about the audit and also about the agreement yesterday after the House session.
Well, I think clearly community care and the medical home model has saved this state literally hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars over time. And I think the report demonstrated once again that the medical home model is the best model to save money as well as provide better health care.
When they're talking about reform, I guess at the center of this is the question of whether or not right now, if you have to have a procedure, a practitioner or a facility will perform that procedure or that visit, and they get paid. They send in a bill. So you go in, you're on Medicaid, you get the procedure, you see the doctor, and they send in a bill.
Fee for service.
And right now what the state is saying is, look, if we just keep paying every time they bill us, we can't afford the increases. So we have to somehow share the risk. A managed care organization, which is a private group, says, I tell you what, we'll give you X amount of money per patient, and that's what you get. And so you better be careful how you use that. If you just spend on procedures that were unnecessary, you're going to run out of money.
Capitation.
Capitation is what they call that. And that's a good way to save money. Critics say, oh, yeah, but if you give them a pot of money and then you say, watch how you spend it, maybe they won't give people the care they need.
Right.
And that's the downside of that.
Maybe they'll pocket it. Now, there have been some legislators who have stepped forward at that point in the conversation and said, they have made the point that this money, this pot of cash, will be spread out across, you know, across the state, across a lot of different organizations, and you're also talking about a kind of medical coverage where profit margins are particularly thin. You're talking about providing care for people who are poor. So, and if you're providing some care, making a lot of money on this remains to be seen exactly how a medical provider is going to do that. The conventional wisdom is that there's not a lot of money to be made here, but it is about being more efficient and getting some, and we think we have agreement on this, House and Senate, getting some private entities into the mix now.
As well as physician-led entities that would also bear the risk, and they can't just send in a bill anymore. They're only going to get a certain amount per person,
per quarter, yeah, or
but
per month, yeah.
Some could be physician-led, some can be more executive-led, and that's the compromise, that there would now be a hybrid of these organizations, or a combination, and you, as the Medicaid patient, would choose? Is that part of this compromise, or
you would have the choice? You would have a choice, and if you elected not to choose, then it would be assigned to you. Yes, there would be choice here. And let's just be clear: this is not something that's going to change next month, or even likely in March or April. This is a federal state system, and the federal government kicks in three quarters of the money for this. This is potentially going to get finalized in the next month. It'll take a year to get a federal waiver, and it might really be 3 or 4 years before we see major change actually being implemented. But Donnie Lambeth, who's a Republican from Forsyth County, he's a former hospital executive. He ran the Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center, and he says a deal is close at this point, perhaps within the next week.
All right, we will stay tuned. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Frank.
Jeff DeBerry, WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The many faces of Pauli Murray. Next, stay tuned.